The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. And it's the story everybody in the Northwest has been talking about the last few days. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
So I was on the air last Friday when a story broke that anti-tax activist Tim Iman.
Afternoon Drive is starting to fill in around Newcastle and south on 405 and through Seattle.
Let's get rid of the traffic there, whatever that is. Okay, it's on the air last Friday when we got word that Tim Iman had been accused of stealing an office chair from an Office Depot store in Lacey. The Lacey City prosecutor has now filed charges for shoplifting against Tim Iman. And Tim Iman joins us live right here on the Dory Monson Show. Tim, good to talk to you this afternoon.
Good to talk to you, Dory. How are you doing?
Why are you stealing office chairs from Office Depots, Tim?
You have no idea how good this chair is. This is one of the nicest chairs you could ever possibly have. But no, I mean, the timing is just truly amazing. On Friday morning, I flew out for a four-day vacation, and I'm flying on the plane, and as I'm landing, I'm getting these text messages from everybody, including Nicole, going, what's with the chair?
Right.
What's with the, and I have no idea what anybody is talking about. And so eventually I start making phone calls, I start realizing what's going on, and then at that point I had to lawyer up and do the whole thing. And so I just left Lacey Office Depot just now. I have a hot little receipt in my hand for my newly owned and appropriately purchased chair.
Okay, in case people have not been around the last couple of days, let me describe what was in this video that came out last Friday. So you walk, there are two sets of sliding doors at this Office Depot with a little vestibule in between. They appear to have an office chair as a display in the in between the sets of sliding doors. You walk into the Office Depot, you're wearing a bright red Let the Voters Decide t-shirt. You then sit in the office, you walk through the first set of sliding doors, you sit in the office chair, you spin around three times, and then you wheel it out of the store and apparently load it in your vehicle. Then you went back into the Office Depot to purchase a couple of printers, but did not pay for the chair. Is all of that correct?
That is correct. That's certainly part of the story, yes. And I thought the funniest part is, so why would you go back into the store after this bank heist that was so successful? Why would you do that? It's like, because I went back into the store to pay for it.
You cannot say that on the radio, and I had to dump that.
Well, that's what I thought.
We're live, so don't say that, please.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, it's just a huge misunderstanding. I end up getting this phone call while I'm in line to pay for everything. It's from the Institute of Free Speech. It's an organization out of Alexandria, Virginia, that have been trying forever to take my case in the Bob Ferguson lawsuit. They call me exactly as I'm in line. And this is like the call of a lifetime. I've been, you know, getting pilloried by Bob Ferguson. I haven't been able to hire an attorney because of Bob Ferguson. Here they are calling me. They call me. I take the call. I end up doing all the purchases. I think that I bought everything while I'm there. At the end of the day, I end up screwing up. I didn't end up looking at the receipt. I'm still talking on the phone as I leave the store the second, third time we're taking out all the printers. I thought I bought everything. But, you know, if I sound exasperated, it's just because this thing is so insane and so ridiculous and so absurd that I would wear a bright red T-shirt, testify in Olympia, drive up to Lacey, buy a couple of printers, but in the meantime, I decided to swipe a chair. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense, and no one understood it. And I couldn't talk about it until the lawyers had a chance to talk with the...
Right, okay, I got all that. So here's what I don't understand, though, Tim. It's not a normal course of shopping to see something that you're planning on buying, to take it out of the store, load it in your vehicle, and then go back in to pay for it. That's just not a normal process of purchasing something, is it?
You know, honestly, the way my attorneys don't want me talking at all about any of this stuff.
Right.
But I just find this thing so ridiculous and so stupid that I just feel like I have to. But there are certain things that I'm just not able to get into. And all I can tell you is that I did it unintentionally. It wasn't on purpose. I just went down to the Lacey Office Depot. I've got a chair in the back of my car right now that's fully paid for. I tried to resolve the whole thing. Unfortunately, since I just got back last night at midnight, this is the first chance I've had a chance to be able to resolve it. But at the end of the day, I'm still charged. I'm going to be arraigned, I guess, on March 6th or something like that. So we're going to go through the whole process. But at this point, first thing I had to do as soon as I got into town was to try and, basically make amends. And I apologized to him. I said it was a mistake. It was an inadvertent thing. But at the end of the day, at this point, all I could do is do what I can do, and that was to drive down there and do it.
Understood. Okay, and I appreciate and respect, first of all, that you're talking to me when your attorneys have told you to talk to nobody. And I understand that there are aspects that you can't comment on. But is there anything I said in that last question that's incorrect? That it's just a strange sequence to see something you're planning on buying, to load it into your vehicle, and then go back into the store to pay for it. That's just not a normal sequence of retail purchase, the way we go about things.
I understand. I guess the only thing I would highlight is what's even stranger is to take something and then not drive away with it, but instead to go back into the store and then purchase a bunch of other stuff at the same time. All I'm telling you is that the entire thing, the reason people just couldn't understand it is that nothing made sense about it. And it's because you just couldn't, I don't know, I can't even get into it to the point where I can even explain it. All I can tell you is that I made a mistake. I didn't do it correctly. I think I've cleaned it up now. Mm-hmm. It wasn't on purpose. It wasn't. I mean, honestly, you have to think about this. I had just been down in Olympia. I had just testified on a bill.
I get it.
Went up to Lacey, end up buying some, getting some scans done on a partial summary judgment that I had to file that day. I then bought some printers. I did all that stuff. All I can tell you is that I didn't steal a chair. I didn't do it on purpose. It wasn't an intentional thing, but at the end of the day, I'm going to face the consequences for what ended up happening, and I'm sure they're going to throw the book at me. I will not be surprised if Bob Ferguson doesn't take over the case and add it to his list of things that he does with me, because he doesn't think the city attorney is going to be tough enough.
And believe it or not, in a couple of minutes, I'm going to come around to defending you a little bit, but before I get to that point,
it's all fine.
Isn't what you're saying what everybody who steals something would love to have happen? And that is, I'll try to get away with it. If they catch me, then I will go back, say I made a mistake, and I'll pay for it. I mean, isn't that what every shoplifter ideally would want to say, and how they'd want everything to be handled?
You know, I'm 53 years old. I don't think I've hidden my kleptomania for the last 53 years. I mean, I've never been accused of ever stealing anything ever. It is just a complete, I can't use that word that I used earlier that hopefully you bleep me on.
Yes.
It's just a complete misunderstanding. It's all it is. But I've lawyered up. Fortunately, I had a friend from college who owns a law firm now. He's handling it for me pro bono. He told me that it's the proper way to do it at this stage. There's nothing you can do about it other than, and they said, do not say anything. Don't, talk about this thing in any way. But I just kept saying, this is so ridiculously absurd, I just can't keep quiet about it.
Okay.
It's just complete, so it is what it is.
And when you say you've never stolen anything, for decades I've been hearing from politicians that you've been stealing tax money that is rightfully theirs.
Fair point.
Okay.
Fair point. I stand corrected.
Okay,
I
all right.
I stand corrected.
Okay, now, here's where I will defend you, Tim, and that is we have somebody just sent me, coincidentally, completely unrelated to you and your situation. They sent me a police transcript of a shoplift at a major grocery chain store on Mercer Island yesterday, where the police don't pursue it. Here in Seattle, we have drug vagrants who know that there's a no-chase policy, and they can, with impunity, walk in, grab a bottle of booze, grab anything else. They know that shoplifting is not just tolerated, but it's something that nobody ever prosecutes. I do find it intriguing that the only shoplift, and I called the Lacey City prosecutor this morning because I wanted to ask them, how many shoplifting charges have you filed? Because I'm guessing it's not very many, and I do find it intriguing that yours is probably one of the only ones that gets filed around here.
Well, and, you know, you have to look at it from their perspective. You know, we're not going to go soft on a public figure for doing the wrong thing. I mean, I get it. I get that whole thing. But you're also, it's hard to avoid the politics of it. I mean, I'm wearing a bright red Let the Voters Decide t-shirt. It was like this big neon sign. I'm a preferred member of Office Depot. So I'm sitting here entering in my code as I'm buying the printers and I'm talking on the phone and I'm paying for the scans. But I'm talking on the phone all at the same time. I'm sure from their perspective is that they want to look tough. They want to look like, you know, we don't tolerate this stuff. But it does seem somewhat, I don't know, disproportionate as far as the media attention is concerned to it. I was gone for literally the last 4 days, and so I couldn't really respond to any of this stuff. I'm out there with my daughter. It was just a great time in Orlando. We had a great time. But, I mean, I knew what was going on over here and just rolling my eyes going, okay, I'm coming back to some fun. But, I mean, that's kind of the life that I lead as a political activist. You just kind of roll with it and just say, you know what, it's you make a mistake, you're going to be held to a ridiculous high standard.
I don't know that it's ridiculously high. I mean, their chair was in your car unpaid for. I mean, that's not a ridiculously high standard.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I
apologize. I apologize. Ridiculously high standard as far as front page of every single newspaper in the state and the web video being run on TV over and over and over again. I don't think that that's necessarily the way most of these things are handled.
No.
But I hear what you're saying. You make a good point. I'm totally there. And all I can do is accept responsibility for it and to say I'm doing everything I can to say it wasn't on purpose. It was inadvertent. I was talking on the phone the entire time, and I just did completely, you know, spaced out.
Okay. But, I mean, you weren't talking on the phone when you wheeled it out to your car. You don't have a phone to your ear.
That's absolutely true. When I went back in order to pay for it, I ended up going through the entire motions of being able to pay for it and clearly ended up not doing it with it without including it. You're exactly right.
Okay. All right. I think that, you know, first of all, I wish we would uphold the same standards against the drug vagrants who shoplift up here. So you sent Nicole a couple of pictures, and you said this is all embargoed until after you talk to me this afternoon. But what's that all about?
All it is just a picture of me shaking hands with the manager of the Lacey Office Depot this morning, and then me, the proud member of a chair where I'm holding up the receipt after the whole thing. You can tell he's just embarrassed about the whole thing. He just wants it all to go away. And that's all I'm trying to do is just to be able to resolve it and to get it taken care of. At the end of the day, I mean, it would have been nice if they had just called me as one of their preferred customers going, hey, did you take that chair on purpose? And I would have been, no, I didn't do that. I'll pay for it right here. But at the end of the day, they called law enforcement immediately instead of calling me. I mean, I love Office Depot. Don't get me wrong. It's a great store. They helped us print up tons of petitions for the $30 tabs initiative. I mean, they're great people. I like them a lot. But I just ended up doing something that was just completely inadvertent and wasn't on purpose. And so the pictures of me going down there this morning, shaking his hand, paying for the chair and at least taking care of this part of it. I'm sure with the arraignment, all that kind of stuff, it's There's more to come.
Okay. I've said that I think the what Bob Ferguson's doing to you is criminal. And I've defended you to a certain extent against what I think is, you know, unbelievable overreach of the AG and the unlimited resources, the unlimited money, the unlimited attorney man hours that he's thrown in his pursuit of you. Last time you and I talked, Tim, you were very emotional, and you told me about the, you know, stuff going on in your personal life. And then you have this. I mean, it sounds like it's just constant chaos right now around you.
Well, and I really want to, and I really appreciate the chance to address this. I mean, seriously, people were suspecting mental instability and complete breakdown over what caused me to do this. But what actually happened, and I really want to explain this because it's a huge thing, is that right now I'm getting sued by the state. Everyone knows that. Because I'm in bankruptcy, I'm not allowed to really hire an attorney because the state effectively is able to block me from having any kind of paid counsel. There is a group out of Virginia called the Institute of Free Speech. It is the signature free speech public policy law firm that you can get. It's the best of the best. I've been trying for months for them to be able to take my case, and they literally for the first time called me that day as I'm standing in line to buy this stuff. I take the call without a doubt. It comes up on my screen, Institute of Free Speech. This is the call I've been waiting for. I take it. We talk for like 8 minutes about him handling this case for me. I'm on cloud nine. My brain is just going a million miles an hour going, finally, I'm going to have legal counsel to be able to defend me in this horrible case. I'm not asking people to sympathize with me. All I'm asking people to understand is that this is the story, is that I'm able to finally be able to fight back in this thing with competent legal counsel, something that's been blocked of me, and I am so euphoric that despite what's going on with this thing, this is nothing compared to $3 million that they want between fines and attorney's fees and a lifetime ban,
right.
And I've now got a public policy law firm that's going to take my case and represent me from this point forward. Sorry, guys, this thing's a speed bump compared to the stuff that I'm facing with the AG, and I am so happy they're willing to help me with this.
Yeah, this isn't going to be another Jussie Smollett thing, is it? You'll turn over your phone records so we can prove you actually got that phone call as opposed to the Empire actor?
I went to the effort of going on vacation in Florida to contact Verizon to show me my phone records.
Okay.
And I got the call coming in exactly at the time. And then I got the time on my receipt that was emailed to me from Office Depot. And I can prove that they overlap perfectly.
Okay.
Between the time I'm talking on the phone.
And
it's demonstrable evidence.
And but just to put a bow on this, if you had gotten that call before you put the chair in your car, then I think it's a better defense. But you wheeled the chair out, you put it in your car, then you get the phone call. The phone call doesn't seem, you know, relevant to the chair thing at that point.
And realize that I'm talking about the actual purchase. When I went back into the store in order to be able to buy everything, that's when I end up getting the call. I'm getting everything I want to buy for everything at the same time. I'm just telling you, it wasn't on purpose. It wasn't intentional. Wasn't my thing. You know, I honestly can afford the $70 chair.
Okay.
I'm fine with buying the chair. The printers are working great. The scans worked out great. I'm in court on Friday before the judge talking about the partial summary judgment, and it's a pretty big deal. This is actually kind of interesting.
Okay, quick.
I'm doing partial summary judgment on the lifetime ban. On Friday, I'm asking the judge, you should strike this from the entire lawsuit. That's this Friday. We get to find out whether or not that piece of the case stays in effect. That's the scan that I was doing at Office Depot.
Okay.
That day.
And
this Friday's a big deal.
And just so people know what you're talking about, so the Attorney,
yeah,
General Fergie, he wants, as part of your whole settlement, he wants a lifetime ban against you on any political activism, correct?
That's exactly
okay.
Right.
All right.
I can never control or have any say in any political action committee,
right,
for the rest of my life. That seems so ridiculously unconstitutional to everybody. but the state is opposing my motion on Friday, saying we do not want to get to that point of actually deciding the merits of this case. That's what the motion's about on Friday.
Got it. All right. Tim, I know everybody's been scrambling to hear your side of things. I appreciate you sharing it with me and my listeners.
First, and one right after paying new chair, and it's a really nice chair. I recommend people go out and buy one right now.
Got it. Okay, but pay for it first.
Thanks, Dan.
Okay, thanks, Tim. Tim Iman joining us live and exclusively here on the Dory Monson Show. That is your Big Lead.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Check the news for you, and then our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio coming up. I am looking at the text messages, the Online Trading Academy text line, and lots of feedback about the interview with Iman. One of the things that I wish I had asked, I wish I had seen this, somebody said, did he bring the tag from the chair back into the store with him? Because if he intended to pay, how would they know how much to charge him if he didn't bring the tag back in? Is my microphone okay? Sounds like I'm all muffled. Am I okay?
I don't know.
I felt sounds like okay. I was muffled in my ears here. But, yeah, I wish I'd asked. Anyway, people are asking really good questions. A lot of people are not buying Iman's story. But then there are a lot of people who say save taxpayers billions of dollars, and they tend to give him the benefit of the doubt. So, anyway, it's all over the board. But I appreciate all the feedback that I'm getting. Okay, with that as mere prelude, our favorite sound bites of the day. Let's get to number three here. Climate change, big issue. And on MSNBC, we found out that if we don't spend trillions of dollars to fix climate problems, the murder rate's going to go up and we're going to have more wars.
Number three.
We know that we're entering into an unprecedented climate, and that we don't, the all of the ways that will transform how we live on this earth. I mean, it's an unenumerable list. It's public health, economic growth, conflict. For every half a degree of warming, we're expected to see between a 10 and 20% increase in conflict. So if we get to where we're going by the end of the century, we could have twice as much war as we have today. And that conflict happens even at the individual level. So we'll see rises in murder rates and rape. Domestic assault. It spikes the rates at which people are admitted to mental hospitals. Absolutely every aspect of life on this earth is scheduled to be transformed by climate change.
That's hilarious. For every half degree temperature goes up, we're going to see more murders and rapes. What a bunch of morons they get watching MSNBC. At number two, the kid who started a hot chocolate stand so he could help Trump build the wall.
Number two.
Seven-year-old in Austin, Texas.
We were making a hot chocolate stand. I was against helping Donald Trump, and then I saw the State of the Union address, and I wanted to help him.
He just said, Dad, I want to do a stand to help Trump raise money for the wall.
1,300 something, because I want our town to be safe.
He came up with the wording. He came up with the amount.
Some people are mad and calling me a little Hitler and stuff, and then some people are really happy.
We are obviously conservative, so we have certain news stations on, and he hears what we talk about at the dinner table.
Somehow it's gotten skewed to think that we're teaching our son to hate, and I don't understand where that comes from.
Well, I like all people.
I think it's important that they know what's going on in the world, where we stand, what we believe in.
We're either going to mail it to Donald Trump, or we're going to go there and give it to him.
Come on, that kid sounds adorable. I switched microphones. Is this better? I got a lot of text messages saying, yeah, the mic's bad. Okay, at number one, Manny Machado just signed a 10-year, $300 million contract with the San Diego Padres. This kid, who's a Yankees fan, because the Yankees were rumored to be in the hunt for Machado, he's glad his Yankees didn't sign him.
Number one.
Manny Machado just signed a $300 million deal with the Padres.
I don't want the Yankees!
Why not?
You can take add them to the Dolphins. It just doesn't happen.
You tell them, kid. All right, those are our favorite sound bites of the day. Today's sign coming up next. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. And still more to do with today's edition of...
Today's sign that the end is near.
Today's sign the world is soon coming to an end. We have had two stories in the last few months about hunters that were shot by their own dogs. One of them happened in New Mexico. Guy was going to go jackrabbit hunting, and his dog stepped on the trigger of his gun and shot the guy. There's another one down south, same thing. Gun sitting on the seat of the car, dog steps on it, fires and injured that hunter. And now, this horrible, despicable trend of the murderous rampage that dogs are on, it has now gone worldwide. Because a man in Germany, who was shot by his dog, has been determined to not be safe to own guns. They aren't naming the man, but he was out hunting with his dog, the breed unknown. I wonder what breed would be most likely. This was in Germany. German Shepherd would be too obvious. What breed of dog would be most likely to want to kill its owner by shooting him? I don't know. Text me. Send me a text. Let me know what dog breed you think would be the most murderous. Anyway, breed of the dog is unknown, but same sort of thing. The guy had his gun sitting on the seat of his vehicle, and the dog somehow stepped on the trigger, fired a shot, and it hit the man in the arm. Now, the court has ruled he cannot own guns anymore because he was the victim of a dog attempted homicide. But the court said that he cannot be trusted to properly handle firearms. And the man's devastated because he's a passionate hunter, they say. But maybe he could go bow hunting. Now, that would really be something. If dogs started shooting their owners with arrows, then we'd have a real trend line on our hands. Today's sign story number two, Martina Navratilova, I think the second greatest women's tennis player of all time, Serena Williams being the best ever. Martina Navratilova was also kind of a trailblazer in the LGBTQ community, but she has now been removed as an ambassador by an organization that supports LGBT athletes. And that's because Martina Navratilova, in a newspaper column last weekend, she said that she referred to trans women as men who decide to be female. And she said, allowing those men to compete with women who are born female is cheating and unfair. Well, a trans rights group, TransActual, they said that Martina Navratilova's comments were disturbing, upsetting, and deeply transphobic. What a load of nonsense that is. Of course, biological men should not be allowed to compete against biological women. Men have a huge physical advantage. And as great as Serena Williams is, at the very peak of her career, she would not have ranked in the top 200 on the men's tour. And as I've said, the Seattle Storm, great women's basketball team, the league champions, a really good high school boys basketball team would beat the Storm. And that's not a criticism I coached girls basketball for years. That's not a criticism in any way. It is just biological reality that men have a huge physiological advantage. And all you need to do to confirm what I'm saying, look at the sports that have objective measurements. Track and field. In every running event, men's times are faster. In every throwing event, men's tosses are further. In every jumping event, men soar higher. Men have a huge physiological advantage against women. Martina Navratilova was simply acknowledging that, and now she's been dropped as an ambassador by a trans rights group, Athlete Ally, because she told the truth. And to call Martina Navratilova, of all people, who has been on the cutting edge of LGBTQ rights her entire career, and to say that because she spoke truth, she can no longer be an ambassador, that shows you how ridiculous this whole issue has gotten. We are no longer allowed to speak truth because it's, as they said, disturbing, upsetting, and deeply transphobic. No, it's not. Only because you choose to deny truth and reality. It's unbelievable. All right, and then speaking of LGBTQ issues, a couple guys went into a Little Caesars, and they say they were discriminated against by the Little Caesars employee. Let me explain with a news report here.
Semi-angry because I'm like, I feel like it's 2019 and we're still having to deal with this.
Rosman Harris recalls his feelings last Friday at this Little Caesars on Brook Road. He and his cousin came there to buy several pizzas, but Marcus Robertson says when they came up to the cashier,
she turns around and walked directly back into the kitchen. No excuse me, no nothing.
Two say they eventually placed their order, then left for about 15 minutes. When they came back to pick them up, Harris noticed the name on the receipt attached to the boxes.
And it said gay.
Harris and Robertson say they were never asked what name they wanted on their order, but customers before and after them were.
It was this preconceived notion of, oh, these are gay men. Why would for you to write that on the ticket? I'm not understanding that.
Okay, so they're very upset that the worker at Little Caesars wrote gay as the identifier on the receipt, and so they demanded that she be fired for that.
But Robertson says another cousin went back to the store on Sunday and spoke to the cashier in question.
She said, oh, well, you know, he was being loud and he was being rude. So my cousin was like, no, he wasn't being loud or rude. He's hearing impaired, so when he talk loud, that's for him to hear himself speak.
Robertson adds the manager told his cousin that day that the cashier couldn't be fired because the store was short-staffed. But as of Monday, the cashier had been fired. Robertson says in the future, he hopes Little Caesars will hire and train their employees better.
Because for something like this to happen, not only does it impact your business, it impacts your image as well.
Okay. Now, what they didn't say in that news report is that the two men in question, they are gay. In the written news report of that story, they did say that, yes, the two men say that they are gay. So then the question becomes, if you call somebody who is gay, gay, is that a fireable offense? And they insisted that this young woman be fired. I mean, let's face it. All they wanted was her to put their name on the receipt.
Dr. Nana.
Say my name, say my name. No one is around you. Say, baby, I love you. You ain't running game. Say my name, say my name. You acting kind of shady.
I mean, when I order a pizza, they don't put straight on the receipt. I'd actually rather if they put straight on than Dory. I get Snickers when they call out my name. Dory. What was my mom thinking? All of that is today's sign. The end is near. I got to get out of here. I've simply said everything that I have to say for today. Candy, Mike, and Todd are coming up next. Have a fantastic Wednesday evening. Head up.
He's a genius. He's like a god who knows what we want.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.